Blog Talk Radio.
This fall, the Fantasy Sports Channel will make history
all over again
with even more live fantasy sports radio than anywhere on the planet. At least 12 hours of fantasy football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus more fantasy sports talk every Saturday and Sunday. More than 50 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business.
Try getting that on your radio dial.
The Fantasy Sports Channel. Only on Blog Talk Radio.
It's a schedule you can bet on.
1 hour of airtime. How are we going to get it all in? Let's go.
One bleeds red and one bleeds blue. Two friends, one heated rivalry. It's intense. It's no holds barred. It's game time.
Hey, let's go.
On Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio with your host Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
I'm joined by my Big Blue co-host from Brandenburg, Kentucky, Mike Trent. And Mikey, there's a pickup everybody was on this week, and I'm going to surprise you and spring this on you, but there's a lot of folks on Keenan Burton this week as a sneaky little pickup. And you, being from Kentucky and an avid Kentucky fan, can you tell us a little about Keenan Burton?
Yeah, it looks like everybody's on Keenan Burton, St. Louis being at San Francisco, but It doesn't surprise me at all. I don't think it's that huge of a thing because San Francisco, they're coming off of a huge loss, and this is a chance for San Francisco to make amends. And so, Keenan Burton, I don't think it's a big of a pickup, and I wouldn't make a big thing about it.
Well, after the injury to Laurent Robinson, who was looking good and was getting a lot of attention, the way Avery's looked so far to start the season has not been impressive by any means. And you never know. It's not always about the offense. It's about who's utilized in the offense. And they don't have much else to go on. Steven Jackson just now getting going. So maybe Keenan Burton is that type of player. We'll have to watch him this week and see what happens. He's got a matchup there that they could see a lot of Keenan Burton this week. So we'll find out. But, Mike, I'm looking at all these games from last week. I'm looking at the injury report this week. There's story after story. I guess the biggest story of last week, just to get us rolled into week four, because I'm not a big look back kind of guy. I want to talk about what's going to happen this week, but I think we need to look back a little bit. Brett Favre and the Magic strikes again. That was a big game, a huge game for San Fran. They pretty much controlled that game from beginning to end, and then that's in Minnesota. That's a big game for them. And to see Brett Favre strike magic at the end of the game, it was pretty exciting.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's almost ironic. I mean, he throws the ball off his left foot and has no idea where the ball is going, but, it goes in the receiver's hands, makes a reception, touchdown, and Brett Favre is feeling like, hey, man, I'm a champion. And he makes plays. Brett Favre makes plays. And I don't know what's going to happen against Green Bay, but I guarantee you one thing, he's going to make a play.
You know, and the interesting story, the side story behind that was Percy Harvin. You know, he was out there, and he comes out after two plays there at the end saying he's winded for that last play of the game. He comes out and he says, I'm like, man, you're 22 years old, right? How can you be winded? Get back out there. But he gets winded, and Greg Lewis comes in and then makes the play. And it's like, it just blows my mind that you know, a kid like that could be winded on the last play of the game and have to come out. They wanted him to keep him in there, and he just refused.
You know, honestly, Scott, I think that some of these younger receivers, tight ends, what have you, they learned a lesson on that play right there, because it's like, wow, I could have made that play if I would have been there. But they weren't there, and Greg Lewis was there. Greg Lewis made it happen. Brett Favre made it happen. So, you know, opportunity is there. If you know, in the NFL, if you got to be there to grab that opportunity. I don't believe in luck. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Truth. And I think we kind of got a little ahead of ourselves. Mike, I get excited when this show gets going. We've got a lot to cover, but the chat room at Red vs. Blue is jam-packed again. The crew from Red vs. Blue is here. Two-packer, Billy Waz, Chad, Cocktails and Dream is here, the champ of the FFPC last year. Day Drinker Josh from the Day Drinker Decisions is here. Garbage Points, John, RC Techie, Shot Caller, Lance, the sports betting man, is here. Prognosticator is here, UFFC, Walkie, Wayne, Leroy's Aces. They keep pouring in, Mike. Matter of fact, the show last week was fantastic. We had Russ Steele on, the number one player in the Fantasy Football Players Championship. Our guy is still up at the top. It's nice to see Russ still up there looking good. His lineup decisions went pretty well, and he's still number one. This week, we have a guest that is just going to absolutely blow your mind, and I'll tell you,
the numbers are awesome. Yeah.
Mikey, did you lose me?
Yeah, I lost you for a second. Are you there?
Yeah, that's what happens when you live in Indianapolis. But I don't know if you took over, but I was talking about Wayne Ellis of Evansville, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
And this start, these first 3 weeks, man, has been absolutely incredible. The first 3 weeks, he is number one overall, number two overall, and number two overall in the biggest three high-stakes events in all the country. Mike, we always talk about how great it would be and a dream it would be to win one of these things. Is it even thinkable that somebody could win the Triple Crown? I mean, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Wow.
Going week three, but this is an unbelievable start. And wait till you see these teams, Mike. They're all different. There was no standard drafting, lineup here where you've got a couple of guys that are hot. Wayne has done it with just solid drafting across the board. It's a thing of beauty, and we're going to talk to Wayne here later in the hour, and talk about his team, his lineups, and what we might be able to learn from his drafts that he's had over the last month.
You know, I'd love it, Scott. I mean, because it's obvious because he's been top two, one or two, three, like you said, and in a lot of leagues, and there's a lot to learn from, but there's different angles that he takes and different moves that he makes. So different angles that he takes, different moves that he makes.
Yeah, and we're gonna break it all down. You're gonna love it. We're gonna try to help him and get the Red vs. Blue crew involved in his decisions, because this is such a great start. We want to give him as much help as we can. Let me get go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, one other thing. This is a crucial week because this is the first week of bye week. So we got to take that into consideration as we go through the show.
First week of bye weeks. I had Philly defense in a couple of leagues. you're like, okay, do I drop Philly D? Well, the answer is no. You don't drop Philly D. You just keep going and keep rolling and try to find another guy to drop for a defense to get you through this week. They've looked too good. We need to keep Philly D on the squad. In another league, I had Tony Gonzalez, didn't really have a backup for him. And I know a lot of teams back up their players, and I'm just not a big backup guy. I like to kind of try to strike gold on a couple of those picks and weather the storm of the bye week for that tight end and defense and the kicker spots. That's just me, but I know everybody has a little bit of a different strategy. Sometimes it burns you. This week I had to find somebody for Tony Gonzalez, and, you know, I don't know. Mike, who was the most targeted Buffalo Bill last week? Just a quick trivia question. Who was the most targeted Buffalo Bill? Let's see if we have any answers in the chat room here. First answer. Let's see. No answers in the chat room.
Three.
The most targeted Buffalo Bill last week. I'd give you three guesses.
That's right.
You think Lee Evans? You think Terrell Owens? You think Josh Reed?
Josh Reed.
You think Fred Jackson, maybe?
Nope. Josh
it's
Reed.
None of those guys. It's Derek Fine, Mike. Derek Fine.
Wow.
The tight end, 9 targets for 34 yards. And it was spread throughout the game. It wasn't back and forth. It was all throughout the game. The Bills offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt, he said Thursday, Mike, that
you can't grab, by the way.
He said had Derek Fine been healthy, he would have started the season opener. Okay? If he was healthy in week one, he would have started the season opener. And you know, this Sean Nelson kid is there, they drafted him, but Fine is healthy. And so I had to pick up a Derek Fine in the league, and luckily I snagged him up. I'm gonna give him a shot this week, see what happens. I don't know. I mean, that
give
was
him
against
a shot
New
and
Orleans.
See what happens.
Yeah, it was against New Orleans. I don't know, but it sounds like Fine's going to line up as a starter. But when you don't draft a backup in the draft, you have to grab something.
When you're talking about Buffalo, Buffalo's hard to figure out because I don't believe in Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens to me is, you know, here I'm gonna go out on a limb and probably eat my words, but I mean he stinks. I mean, he absolutely stinks because of Trent Edwards. Trent Edwards is not that good. And so there's a lot of things. They're going to have to rely on the run. Fred Jackson,
I'm not,
have fun.
I'm not going to talk about it too much. But real quick, interesting tidbit. The Bills have targeted the tight end at least 8 times in all 3 games. So quick little tidbit. But Mike, so much to talk about. Here are the quarterbacks that are – on the injury report this week, Seattle's Matt Hasselbeck, he's doubtful with the ribs. He's got Seneca Wallace filling in. Baltimore Ravens quarterback Troy Smith, that wouldn't be a problem. St. Louis questionable. Mark Bulger with the right shoulder, has not practiced. And it sounds to me like, since he didn't practice on Friday, you're going to see
Kyle Bowler.
Yeah, Kyle Bowler in there. We'll see what happens and how they hook up. We'll talk about that later. Tampa Bay Bucks quarterback Byron Leftwich, obviously he's out or he's questionable. He's already been demoted. New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady's probable with the right shoulder. We kind of seen that all year. But the other injuries that are the most interesting to me, Mike, Wes Welker, questionable. He's been limited all week with this knee.
Again,
Mike, there are some rumors floating around that this kid might be, you know, lost for the season with this injury. They keep testing it. Doesn't seem to get better. This could be huge. I want to talk about these injuries throughout, but I want to run these down because I know we don't have a lot of time tonight.
And I know that, Scott, but the one thing about the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick, he's always going to keep it under the radar about those injuries, this and that. But it might be a good thing to keep Fred Taylor. If you have Fred Taylor, it might be a good thing to keep him because they might have to utilize the run more than they thought they would.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I hear you. And the interesting thing, I think Julian Edelman will be all right. I think if you picked him up, hang on to him. Don't let that one game. I think if you know, he was coming off an injury too, and you could obviously see that Brady was frustrated with Edelman on a couple of drops, especially one big drop. You saw Brady on the sideline. He was mouthing something to the effect of, it's just not that hard, and he was visibly upset by that. But this Edelman, I think the more this rhythm starts to get worked out, this kid will be a Wes Welker type, probably not as talented, but he'll still get a lot of work, especially since Joey Galloway's looked absolutely horrendous. He's a guy you just can't
throw
in there.
Yeah, I agree there.
The Browns did not practice. James Davis on Friday did not practice with a shoulder. So this Jerome Harrison kid, I mean, that's pretty much all they've got in Cleveland. Jerome Harrison looks like he's going to be a starter, Mike. He had 16 carries for 52 yards last week, 5 catches for 33. So he's getting involved in both sides of the game. And with the quarterback situation there, Braylon not looking good, nobody else to speak of. Jerome Harrison is almost a guy you have to put in there just because he's getting all the work. He's getting at least 20 touches a game right now. And with James Davis out, he might even get a little bit more.
Well, I can't do that. Cincinnati, they've stepped up their defense. They've stepped up their offense. They've stepped up all facets of their game. And I don't see Cleveland doing anything, especially when Pittsburgh couldn't. And
in Cincinnati. The receptions help. The receptions do help, though. I mean, if he's going to get those little dumb passes from that Brady Quinn threw, maybe Derek Anderson does the same. But I agree with you, Mike. They're the 8th best defense against the rush right now, Cincinnati is. So Cleveland's got their work cut out for them if they're going to ground and pound.
I see Cleveland more or less going downfield with Derek Anderson versus the dump-off with Brady Quinn.
Good job, Billy, starting Jerome Harrison for Kevin Smith this week. With Kevin Smith banged up, I think that's a smart play, and you get somebody that's gonna be touching the ball. So I like that with the receptions. Cowboys full practice Friday, Mike. Marion Barber with the thigh injury, he had a full practice Friday. That's a very good sign for Dallas Cowboy fans to get Marion Barber back in the lineup, especially with this brittle Felix Jones, man. Every game you see him get a little bit of a workload, this kid goes down. So if this is the way it's going to be, Mike, I can understand why you need several backs on your team these days, because these backs are just not that dependable. And Tashard Choice, he looks like the real deal.
Yeah, Tashard Choice, he's going to fill in. He might have a big day this weekend. As far as Dallas goes, they've got to rely on the run, because Tony Romo, he's not going to get it done. We've already seen that. It's been proven. So, but I'm not sold that Marion Barber is healthy. So, if you have Tashard Choice, might be a play.
Let's keep looking here at the injury report. We are going to be joined by Wayne Ellis here in just a few minutes with this remarkable season that's going on in the world of high-stakes fantasy football. The Lions, again, we talked about Kevin Smith being limited with the shoulder. The Giants, full practice. Hakeem Nicks is back, possibly, Mike. Full practice on Friday. Hakeem Nicks with the foot injury. I don't know how that's going to shake up with Mario Manningham and Steve Smith. They've been dominating. And, they had, a decent day this past week. Even with the dominational, with the effort that they gave against Tampa last week, it was just such an ugly game for Tampa. Bradshaw and Jacobs had their way. They went for both around 100 yards, and Steve Smith, even without needing the pass, still caught 7 balls for 63 yards, and Mario 4 for 55. They were still 10, 15-point days. If it's a game where they're in the heat of things and they have to get throwing, Steve Smith and Mario have been automatic. I wonder how Hakeem Nicks fits into that equation.
I don't think he fits in at all, Scott. The bottom line with the New York football Giants is – they're going to run. They're going to throw in a little bit of pass, because Eli has been he's been very effective with Steve Smith and Manningham. And I don't see any way that they're going to mess up that mix of what they got going on, because it's going to be Brandon Jacobs or Bradshaw, and it's going to be Smith and Manningham. So.
Well, I heard that Hakeem Nicks is probable this week now, unless we do have some chat room talks going on, but I did hear a report that he is probable. The Chiefs, Dwayne Bowe, Mike, again, limited through Friday, questionable with this hamstring. The Chiefs absolutely got blown out by Philly. They were behind all game, okay? Now, when you think a team that gets behind all game, Mike, what do you think? They're going to throw the ball, right? Well,
yeah.
Castle, 14 for 18 for 90 yards. There's no vertical threat in this game with Bo out. Bradley was in there, and he went 4 for 28. And I saw people going hog wild over Mark Bradley, grabbing him for several hundred dollars in their bid dollars. And in these high-stakes leagues, everybody uses the blind bidding, and it's a very interesting strategy. But we'll talk about that some other time. But everybody's going after Bradley. I'm like, look, they had a great chance to get it going this week, and you know, 4 for 28. I mean, you know, there was nothing vertical going on in that game for KC at all. I don't see what they're going to do without Dwayne Bowe in that lineup.
No, I don't either. The only chance they have is Jamal Charles has a breakout game. That's his chance. I mean,
yeah.
this is his time to shine, to make things happen. Well, I was going to make it.
There you go.
But, I mean, it's a time for Jamal Charles to come out and catch the ball out of the backfield and run through the gut and get some yards. And, you know, he could be a good fantasy pickup this week.
We got Midnight Oil in the chat room. They host their show at midnight, and they'll be on directly after us on the Fantasy Sports Channel. You can listen to the show on fsc.fm. That'll get you there, and it also has the live chat room. You can go there, or you can come to our show page, either one. But we're very happy with the Fantasy Sports Channel, Mark Ronick and those guys, and they put together a cast that you could just sit around and have it on all day. Can't wait till that stuff is streaming live in your car, Mike, so you don't even have to worry about downloading the podcast. The Jets-Saints game, it's shaping up to be the game of the week.
Wow.
Two 3-0 teams in New Orleans. There's a couple of corners that are out. They did not practice today. Lito Shepard and Donald Strickland. I'm not too worried about Shepard. I'm going to miss Strickland a little bit. But we've got a couple of guys in Lowry and Darrell Revis that can really get things going. It's going to be one of those games where it's Rex Ryan defense against Sean Payton offense, and
Sean Payton offense.
Oh,
yeah, I think
it's going to be a great game. Game of the week material.
Well, it's a second best game of the week. I've got one in my mind that I'm waiting on, but there's no doubt about it. The Jets, New Orleans Saints. I mean, it's going to be up and down the field all day long. But can the Jets defense, you know, can they contain the likes of Drew Brees, P.O. Thomas, and then the wideouts come out? Now, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be tough.
We'll find out. It's going to be a great show. Hey, I do want to talk about next week. Next week we're going to have the Red versus Blue Satellite show. We're going to be reviewing the Red versus Blue Satellite and the Red versus Blue Big Payback Satellite. Both those leagues are going to get an in-depth review. We're going to be 4 weeks in. You know, a third of the way home, we're going to take a look at those teams that are going on. We sponsored those leagues this past year.
I'm glad we're waiting to after this week. I got some catching up to do.
Well, we broadcast those drafts live as they were happening. They're going to be some fun times. We're gonna go in depth with these teams and get as much as we can told about. We've got five other injuries here. Then we're going to get Wayne Ellis on the air with us. The Saints. Hey, Mike. Mike Bell, this injury, just stay out of there, Mike Bell. Just keep stay at home with the ice on the knee. Pierre Thomas saving my world championship season. He comes in there. I had him in my lineup last week, Mike. You're sitting there at halftime. You're thinking this is the worst boneheaded move you ever made. He's sitting there with zero carries. I'm like, what happened? And then all of a sudden I see Pierre in the backfield in the second half, and the light bulb comes on, and I just get a little bit of hope. And then this kid starts running, Mike. And he runs, and he runs, and he runs, and he runs through. He runs through the Buffalo Bills and wins that game for them single-handedly. Without a couple of those runs, Mike, it would have been a bad, bad day for the Saints. They would be 2-1 right now. Breeze was held down to 172 yards by the Buffalo Bills. It's totally unbelievable after that torching start.
Well,
he had.
You know, I tell you what, from what I saw, he was held down, but he understand his parameters. He was like, okay, I can't go downfield. I can't go vertical the way I want to go. So let's go another direction. So he started running the ball. So that's a smart quarterback. Drew Brees is a very smart quarterback, and he knows what can be done, whether it's five touchdowns a game or whether it's one touchdown a game and run the ball and let's win the game.
Sports Betting Man's in the chat room. He is talking all kinds of trash. You got to get in and know these guys in the chat room. These are the best of the best high-stakes fantasy players in the world that are in the Red versus Blue crew. You come on, you ask your question, they'll be happy to answer it for you, and you'll get a lot of advice here. A couple more injuries. Raiders, Chaz Schilling, again, he's not practicing. It doesn't really matter if he did because they're tied to Jamarcus Russell. You know, Jamarcus Russell, Darren McFadden, and, you know, Darius Hayward-Bey, this is not bringing back images of the triplets, is it, Mike? It's just not,
no.
You know,
no.
It's their last three draft choices here in their top draft. The Chargers, full practice all week. This is the other big story. LaDainian Tomlinson has practiced all week long, Mike, and who knows if he's going to play. Usually it would make sense if he didn't play and then sat out the bye week. But if you're practicing all week long, good chance that he gets in the game. And I don't know how much in the game he – but you're not happy with Darren Sproles as your running back. If you've been watching the San Diego Chargers and you're a Charger fan, you're not happy with Sproles. You love the game-breaking ability, but he cannot pound it through the tackles. So, LT, I think they're going to get him back in there sooner rather than later. I thought maybe he might sit, but if he's practicing this week, maybe we get to see LT against the Steelers. That's a big, big game for the Chargers. So,
well, you know, and that's a very tough test to right away go against Pittsburgh.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm not going to start LT myself. I mean, I've got LT on a couple of different leagues. I'm not going to start him right away, not against Pittsburgh.
Yep. All right, we've got the Steelers, doubtful Willie Parker. Sounds like Mawelde Moore is going to get the start. You have to think that Mendenhall is going to get a chance in that game as well. And against the San Diego Chargers, they could do very, very well, Mike. San Diego's the 30th best. They're at the bottom, allowing points to running backs. They're at the very, very bottom here, 30th worst in the league. And so you've got to think that Mawelde Moore, Mendenhall just might get it going. It's a very intriguing start for either one of those guys. Again, Mark Bolger didn't practice. Frank Gore, I'm so sorry for all the Frank Gore owners. Now you know how it feels as a LaDainian Tomlinson owner to lose your first-round pick this year. Not that it makes me feel any better, but at least some other people are going through it too, because the bad thing is Frank Gore only got one carry. And I know some teams that had him did start him because he practiced, but one carry in, this guy comes out. Hopefully, though, they backed him up with Glenn Coffey, and it's just a one-week problem.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Scott. Back last July, I was like, Rachel, did you get your coffee? Did you get your coffee? You better get your coffee because, you know, I mean, he's going to be he's a great handcuff, and in Mike Singletary's offense, he's going to work just fine.
Yeah. Chad, Cocktails and Dreams, thanks for the reminder, Scott. I forgot about it. Yeah, it is something you try to forget about. Hopefully you got Glenn Coffey. The Bucks, Derek Ward did not practice Friday. Sounds like he's going to be out this week, which means Cadillac Williams gets all the carries in that game. And, you know, there's just no telling. I mean, when you're Tampa Bay, you need everything you can get, and not having Derek Ward is going to hurt. Washington, that's a team that you can very likely, you know, run against. Especially with the injury there. I don't know. It's kind of one of those middle-of-the-pack games, but if I had Caddy, I'd have to consider him. Antonio Bryant has been limited all week long, so that's another thing. But who knows? I mean, with your quarterback situation there, it's hard to start any of those guys. And then the skins, Mike. Here's the dreaded Clinton Portis.
What's going on with Clinton Portis? I need to know the skinny on Clinton Portis.
Well, the skinny is he did not practice on Friday with the calf injury. And if you're playing Tampa Bay, man, Tampa Bay is one of those teams that you have to get your running backs in that lineup so you can get them in there and roll right through them. But he did not practice, so it's going to be one of those dreaded game time decisions for Portis. That's why you can't draft a guy. But if you have Liddell Betts, maybe you throw him in there at the game time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I had Liddell Betts before the year, and, you know, for this typical reason. You just don't know what's going to happen with Clinton Portis, and but I hope he's going to be healthy, because I'd rather have Clinton Portis than Liddell Betts, but you never know.
Well, Mike, we've got Wayne Ellis with us. Wayne, how are you?
Good. I'm doing great. Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, we are excited
How's
to
going,
have
Wayne?
You, Wayne. Wayne, he asked about you today, Mike, and I said, yeah, Mike will be here, so we're gonna try to help Wayne out with his lineup decisions. Wayne Ellis, living in Evansville, Indiana. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you born and raised there? Where are you from?
I was. I'm from Evansville. I work here as a realtor.
Okay. Evansville, I lived there for about a year, actually, in 97, 98 area, 98, 99. And, man, that's the flattest city there is on the planet, I think, man. If you like to ride your bike, I mean, easy to ride your bike or whatever, but you can see for miles, man, all around that place.
If you love humidity, it's the place to live, that's for sure.
There you go.
Well,
it's a little indie.
I'll, I tell you what, Wayne, I went to Kentucky Wesleyan in Owensboro, and I spent a lot of times in at Ellis Park in Henderson,
Park.
Kentucky. So yeah, absolutely. So you know, I mean, Owensboro, Henderson, Evansville, it just kind of come together, and so you know, it's nice to have you part of the show and part of the community.
Yeah, it's a great area to live. I like it. So.
It is a good town. Well, Wayne, the real story here, listen, you play in all the high-stakes leagues like several of us. You're in the World Championship of Fantasy Football, the Fantasy Football Players Championship, and the National Fantasy Football Championship. These are the three big dogs in the industry, and you have a remarkable season going on. You're first overall in the National Fantasy Football Championship, the NFFC. You're second overall in the WCFF, and you're second overall in the FFPC. This is unheard of, man. This is unheard of.
I got to tell you, if going into this year I had been in the top 10 in any one of the three, I would have been elated. So it's just unbelievable right now.
Oh man,
that's
you
awesome.
Had to be sitting there watching these overall leaderboards and just beside yourself to see that these teams are really coming together. I try to stay away from the standings because it makes me nervous, and I start doing things that I didn't, because if I'm down and I'm trying to catch up, and I'm like, you know, it's still early in the season. I try not to look at it too much. Because it makes me, it causes me to do other things. I don't know if you're going to feel the same way or not, but, you know, maybe you play it safe or maybe you go for the points. I try to not look at it. Have you had those same thoughts go through your head?
You know, it's just try to make the right decisions each week. And we've been pretty lucky so far. We've hit on most of the right decisions. The Wyckoff, we've hit a couple bad ones, but it hasn't cost us too many points just yet.
Well, Mike, let me run down these teams so you can hear what he has here, because a lot of times you think, you know, first, second, okay, he's got Drew Brees. Drew Brees has went off. Okay, he's got Tim Hightower. You know, he's doing well. You know, he's got Reggie Wayne. Well, okay, he does have some of those guys, but when you see the makeup of these teams, they're all different. This guy came in with a strategy in every single contest, and the draft played out differently for him in each one of these contests, and that's the most remarkable thing. And we got into this discussion on the message boards, and we said, you know, sometimes it's not about who you're drafting. Well, as equally as much, it's about who you're not drafting. And Wayne,
right.
I think you said it best. You avoided the landmines.
And, you know, we got lucky in some of those. There were players we were targeting that just didn't fall to us, that had we gotten them, you know, it would be a whole different story for us this year. So, there's a lot of luck involved in that.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of luck, but in the first 3 weeks, though, Wayne, what's been your toughest lineup decision that you had to make?
Oh boy, we've picking Schaub versus Palmer a couple times. I've gone wrong on that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple teams. Really, it hasn't been too awfully tough. It's been pretty. We've missed a couple times with like going with Burleson versus Julius
mm-hmm.
Jones.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, nothing too tough so far. I got my toughest lineup decision is going to be this week in the Wyckoff, because I've got so many different people to choose from and have no idea what to do with that one yet.
Well,
especially
take a look at that one.
This week when you come in to the first round of the buys, so that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at that one then, Wayne. We're going to look at the WCFF. His first six picks from the 12-hole gang, here they were, Frank Gore, Reggie Wayne, got to love that combo, comes back with Reggie Bush, Santonio Holmes, Dallas Clark, and Leon Washington. So, you know what, he's got Dallas and Reggie there. Santonio had a good first week. Gore's been solid the first couple of weeks. His start, his lineup decision this week looks pretty tough. So, Wayne, why don't you go ahead and tell us about the lineup decisions you have this week, and we'll try to help you out.
Yeah, please. I need it. I need to pick two running backs out of Reggie Bush, Leon Washington, Mueldy Moore, and Willis McGahee.
McGahee start.
That was fast.
I do have him in right now.
Okay,
I like Leon's matchup this week. I like Mueldy Moore's, you know, potential this week also. So
have
I've got
you
a
had
tough
McGahee in your lineup?
I had him in last week. I sat him the first 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard to start him, but seeing him do this every single week, it's like, okay, I'll join the crowd. And Willis McGahee is one of those players that I look at so far in the early part of this season and say, the team that has him, the teams that have him, they drafted him in what, 12th, 14th round, something like that?
Yeah, 13th round here, yes.
Yeah,
that's 13th round.
You've got a starting running back that's just rolling through the league right now in the 13th round. That's the type of player that you need to hit on to make it and win your league.
Well, especially Scott with 2 touchdowns a game, it seems like. I mean, he's scoring over and over and over again. And I think that's a solid start there.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at the risk here. Wills McGahee, New England. Okay, you've still got Ray Rice in the picture. It's not all said and done that Ray Rice is not going to get the carries here. And in a tough game against the Patriots, there's no telling what type of game situations come in. I've seen Ray Rice in there on third downs. I've seen him in there on complete drives. It's one of those is going to be tough to gauge. Mawelde Moore, on the other hand, Faz Willie Parker's out. I don't think they're ready to give the keys over to Mendenhall yet. And with this matchup, it looks tasty. It looks tasty, Wayne. The 30th ranked defense against the run is San Diego, so it looks real tasty.
Yeah, I just wish I knew more before game time. That game's in the evening Sunday night, correct?
We can look for you real quick.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. But anyways, yeah, I'm gonna have a hard time keeping Wilde Moore out of the lineup. But yeah. I'm gonna have a hard time on who to sit, because I like Leon Washington's matchup against New Orleans this week, and then obviously I'm gonna play Reggie Wayne and Santonio Holmes, but I also have Hester, Mike Walker, and Pierre Garçon. I love Mike Walker this week. I love Devin Hester this week, so it's gonna be a hard decision who to put down there.
The interesting thing about this Reggie Bush thing is that the game sets up a lot better for him than it does for Pierre Thomas. You're stopping the run if you're the Jets, but come on, you're Drew Brees. You've got to back those safeties up. You've got to back the linebackers up. Best tandem of linebackers right now in the league, and you've got to back them up to take care of this pass that's going on with Shockey. And I can see Reggie Bush getting just a ton of work on those receptions. He's kind of somebody that would be staring at me a little bit more as game time approached. New England. With McGahee, 405, is that a 405 game? Yeah, no, it's a 1 o'clock game. That's the 1 o'clock game, and Pittsburgh and San Diego is the Sunday night game. So
right.
You're gonna have to have that one decided. It's very difficult to bench Wills McGahee, though, at this point. And Mawelde, it might be one of those games where you want to sit and wait. It just depends. Are you wanting to really push the envelope here a little bit? I think you have room to push the envelope a little bit. But it's your call. I mean, you're up there this high. Do you feel like you want to go for the higher ceiling? The higher ceiling is Mawelde Moore, right? I mean,
he's
very likely get all the work.
I do have a very tough matchup in the Wyckoff this week, so I probably do need to push the envelope a little bit on that one.
Well, and I think to be honest with you, Mawelde is the safest play of all of those on the board right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mawelde is the safest play of all of them on the board. The Leon versus New Orleans, I just can't get behind it. I don't know. It's going to be one of those games. It's going to be what's the over-under on that game, Mike? Do you have that?
No, I don't have it right here. I'll look it up.
Yeah, the over-under sometimes, I mean, there's going to be some points scored, but what kind of game is that going to be? You've got a lot of guys there that are, I don't know, kind of in the middle. The wide receivers you have, Wayne and Holmes are in. You're looking for Hester, Sims, Walker, or Garçon. Okay, we'll throw Garçon out. He's not in the same ballpark as Hester and Sims,
right,
Walker at this point.
Right.
And the good thing is I'm playing just about every player that plays against Houston right now. Sims Walker looks fantastic. This guy's an absolute beast. But again, you've got Detroit against Devin Hester, and everybody that plays against Detroit should be in your lineup. Jason
yep.
Campbell even threw for 300 yards on Detroit, so I've got to get Hester in the lineup too.
Right.
So, I don't know. I guess
right now I've got the 4 receivers in there with Leon Washington, Willis McGahee, but that's before I saw the reports with Willie Parker being out today.
Yeah.
Woo.
Gonna be some tough ones, man. But you know what? You've done so well so far here. We'll see what
yeah.
they're talking about in the chat room. I got Billy Wallace saying it's Hester.
The over-under on San Diego, Pittsburgh is 42.5.
Okay, what about the Jets game? Jets Saints. You got 42.5 on San Diego and Pittsburgh.
Guess Saints 45.5.
45.5, yeah. Okay.
They're both high numbers.
Yeah, very, very high numbers. Leon will definitely get work. Mowelde's going to get more work against San Diego, very likely. But I don't know. And as good as Vince, as good as Willis McGahee's looked, I don't know how you could bench that guy, right? So it's gonna be a tough one for you, Wayne. Let's look at the FFPC, Fantasy Football Players Championship. This is a little bit different rules here. You get 1.5 for tight ends. You can start up to 4 running backs, which is kind of nice. Let me tell the listeners about your team here, because again, you're second overall. How did he do it? Steven Jackson, Chris Johnson from the 7-hole. Landed Chris Johnson in the second after that Thursday night game. That's why he was dropping in these high-stakes events. Jason Witten and Drew Brees, you did a very bold move, and I want to talk about that. You went tight end quarterback in the 3rd and 4th. Usually that's a death sentence. We talked about that the week before the show, or before the drafts, and we said you can't take your tight end and quarterback early, but here you are proving us wrong. Then you went Hines Ward, Driver, and Cotchery, so you definitely hit on Driver there. Talk about the strategy going tight end and quarterback in 2 of your first 4 picks.
It wasn't my strategy going in at all. Had no intention was to go running back, receiver, running back, and it just didn't fall that way. So anyways, you know, Chris Johnson just fell in my lap. That was a gift, you know, in the second round. So what really helped me out with this team was the fact, since Chris Johnson fell to me, I needed a first-week starter at running back. So in the 9th round, I grabbed Fred Jackson, who's just been complete gold this year. So that's worked out well. But Drew Brees in the 4th round, I mean, come on, that was just too good a value to pass up there. So I just took a chance and got lucky. I hit on all 3 receivers right after him.
Well, I don't think it's getting lucky. I think it's just, you know, nailing what you need to nail when you have to do it. Because Scott and I, we've had a problem year in and year out. It seems like we get a quarterback early and they fail. And then the next year we get a quarterback late and they fail. But this year we could have gotten a quarterback and we didn't do it. So.
Well, you also have Cotchery in this game. You have to start him this week against the Saints. He's a must-start. Driver's
definitely
been huge. And like you said, Fred Jackson as a running back 3. He's been on a tear. Now, Marshawn Lynch is back in the league this week. We'll get to see how that shakes out. But I think at worst it's 50-50 for Fred Jackson right now, as good as he's looked. And that's going to kill some value, obviously. But what's the plan here? I mean, Fred Jackson has to stay in the lineup. But if he starts splitting carries, I guess you've got Mario Manningham on your bench.
I do. Uh-huh. And he's definitely a possibility. I've also got Dustin Keller backing up Jason Witten, and he's had a real nice year so far.
Wow.
Willie Parker's on the team, too, if I need a number 4. So I've got him. But, you know, right now I'm going to roll with Fred Jackson until Marshawn Lynch proves me otherwise. So he's definitely
there
a play
go.
There.
Absolutely.
Good move.
That's a great squad. All right, man, let's look at the 3rd and final team here in the NFFC, the National Fantasy Football Championship. A little unique system here. You get the 3rd round reversal, 6 points for quarterback touchdowns and 0.5 points for the running back receptions. From the 5-hole, again, a great player here, D'Angelo Williams, for this format. You don't have to worry about the receptions as much. You had D. Will Land to you at 5, came back with Anquan Boldin. 3rd round took Jason Witten. So, okay, there's, you know, one theme that I do see in all 3 of these leagues, you did not neglect tight end. You landed Dallas Clark, Jason Witten, and Jason Witten. And, you know, I think that's the one thing, that if you can grab that stud tight end, you're starting a wide receiver caliber tight end when other guys are starting, you know, theirs. And all you have to do is find a serviceable wide receiver 3. I mean, wide receivers come out of the woodworks. You've seen it. Driver and Cotchery and Mario and, you know, Burleson.
Was that your plan from the – Was that their plan from the beginning?
Was what? I'm sorry?
I said, was that your plan from the beginning to go ahead and get a tight end quick? Or did,
not at
did
all.
It just fall
actually,
to you?
You know, that, to be honest with you, in the 3rd round in the NFFC, that fell the absolute worst possible scenario, because we really wanted to get Ryan Grant or Kevin Smith or Ronnie Brown there, and they were all gone. Our fallback plan was Eddie Royal, and Billy Waz was nice enough to take Eddie Royal right in front of us. So at that point in time, we really didn't have a great plan. So we just took best player available on our sheet, which was Witten, but that wasn't a pick we really liked at that point in time.
Isn't that something? I mean, that's crazy how it works out. I mean,
it is.
Wow.
You know, it's not even in my makeup to grab a tight end in the third round. I can't do it. I couldn't even consider. Even, no matter how good they are, I usually pass, and I cross my fingers that it cut. Now, Tony Gonzalez fell to me in the primetime league, I think, in the, fifth or sixth round, something along, you know, that line. And I'll take them there, but I just can't pull myself to do it. So, you know, obviously – you have a tendency to allow yourself to take a tight end if he's there without worrying about it too much, because you did it twice with Jason Witten in the third round. So Dallas Clark, you know, in the fifth is no problem with that. But third round taking a tight end is a statement to me, and I'm maybe I need to learn something here, because I've got a lot of support in the chat room saying that this is a championship strategy.
Honestly, Scott, that's why I'm thinking the same way. You know, the quarterback, the tight end, I mean, we wait and wait and wait, but maybe we're waiting too late.
Well, it wasn't the plan coming into the day, but that's the way it worked out. So,
well, tell us about the decision that you have this week, and we'll see if the chat room or Mike or I can't help you.
On which one?
On the NFFC? Yep.
We're pretty well set there, I think. I do that team with Bob Swallows. And we're looking at starting, we have D'Angelo Williams on bye, so we have to go with Joseph Addai, Julius Jones pretty much. Anquan Boldin's on bye, so we're looking at Vincent Jackson, Donald Driver, Nate Burleson, and Andre Caldwell. And then, we'll go with Schaub and Witten. So.
That's pretty sad.
Not many decisions there to make, really.
A lot of big names on that team, and having a guy like Driver in the sixth round that you hit on, and Burleson later, Driver, Burleson, Vincent Jackson, and Bolden, Mike. I mean, how do you feel about those four guys?
Man, that's pretty solid. That is pretty solid.
You sprinkle in a D. Will and a Die and a Jason Witten. I mean, you know, come on.
Yeah, Wayne, you gotta be feeling good. You're stocked from top to bottom in each league, and we wish you all the best.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Well, we are going to be watching you, Wayne. You've got the spotlight on you now. I mean, it comes with the territory when you do this well. The eyes are going to be on you, watching you. We very much so like we watched Jules McClain last year. She was doing very well in several of the leagues. And, that's what we've got an early start on, to watch your teams follow and see how you do. And, man, this is going to be a fun ride. I'd love to be at your house during those Sundays.
If it keeps going this way, I'm going to have to buy myself a Lawrence Phillips jersey.
I think that's a shout out for Billy Waz right there. All right. Well, Wayne, thanks for joining us tonight. You're welcome on the show anytime. We'd love to have you back, and we'll be tracking your teams.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
That's Wayne Ellis, the Colts fan, player in the high-stakes world of fantasy football. The guy is having an unbelievable season, Mike. I just dream for a year like that, to be first, second, and second. What an unbelievable feat 3 weeks in. I couldn't contain myself. I'd be wetting the bed.
No, well, you wouldn't be wetting the bed, but it's got to be very exciting to be in that position. Just to put yourself in that position after 3 weeks and say, wow, I'm good. I'm really good.
Yep.
And then to move forward from there.
You just have some lineups. Like, they just keep going and going and going, Mike. I mean, every draft looks just fantastic. I mean, some of those years, it's just one of those years you're going to have to watch. Look at the rushing matchups real quick, Mike. McFadden and Bush have a sweet matchup this year against Houston.
Yep.
They're dead last in the league. Houston's allowed a ton of yards against the run. McFadden and Bush are both starters. If you're thinking about them, you may have to throw Michael Bush in. McFadden's obviously somebody you have to start. Cedric Benson against Cleveland should have a big day. Go ahead.
Yep. Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say about Michael Bush. I think this week is a huge week for Michael Bush. I would, you know, if you have Michael Bush, you better plug him in, because this could be a big week for him, because based on the fact that Jamarcus Russell, and he's not going to throw the ball much, and well, he can't throw the ball much. So
Mike,
it's gonna
be
I think this is
a week that Steve Slayton gets it going as well. Oakland is the 28th best defense against the run, and I think it's time
wow.
for Steve Slayton to get it rolling. You saw that key fumble
that.
For Chris Brown this past week. He was brought in to be
yes,
the goal line
at the goal line.
And he fumbles the ball, man. And I'm like, this is your only job is to carry the ball.
Yes.
Right. I think Slayton gets the ball. I don't think they're going to use Brown in goal line. I think they learned their lesson. They're going to let Slayton get rolling here. It's a must win for Houston. I think this early, they've got to get this W at home, because they're 0-2 at home. You lose a third game in a row at home, and your fans are not coming back.
No, they lose interest. It's done. They lose interest. It's over. So, you know, like what you said, I mean, you know, when Chris Brown dropped it, it's like, uh-oh. I mean, you know, Steve Slayton's going to be the guy.
Guest 4076, who should I start, Manningham versus KC or Sims Walker versus Tennessee? Obviously, you know, against Kansas City, I think the Giants could easily just run the ball all day again.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's another way to just go ahead and keep rolling up. And they did it last week, and you didn't see Mario get a lot of work. So Sims Walker against Tennessee, you're going to see Sims Walker get a ton of work. So hopefully that helps you there. I don't think that's too close. Mike, let's take a look, though. Again, Chicago versus Detroit. Cutler, 247-3 last week versus Seattle. Forte still not getting it done, 21-66. Thank God for the receptions, 6-40. All of the receivers started to get it going. Olsen, Hester, Bennett, you know, Hester was the most targeted with 8, which is why I have to believe you got to get Hester in your lineup this week if you're playing Detroit. He is just money in the bank right now. He was stressing me out there for most of the game, and then came that long touchdown and just relieved
yeah.
me.
Well, I think they finally found their niche, and they've got things going. So, you know, the running game, I mean, they can do what they want to do, but I think Cutler and Hester, they finally caught it, and so we'll see what happens.
I think Hester is yet to have his breakout week. I think it's coming. Antonio Bryant, not Antonio Bryant, but Bryant Johnson for Detroit. And Detroit's another big story for last week in the NFL league, in the world of the NFL. I mean, they finally got their win. They got off the schneid. Stafford looking good for a rookie, 240 yards against the Skins. Kevin Smith had a 100-yard day. But this Bryant Johnson kid, he was the most targeted on the team last week with 11, Mike. And this Calvin Johnson's getting double-teamed and double-covered. It's leaving Bryant Johnson for single coverage.
Exactly.
And they're throwing to him.
Exactly. I put a lot of bids out on Bryant Johnson, and I was able to get him pretty cheap, because Bryant Johnson, he's going to be the man that's going to be singled, and Calvin's going to be doubled. So Matthew Stafford, he's not an idiot, so he's going to
yeah.
figure out which guy to go to.
I'm going to back up here a little bit in the chat room, though. I want to back up a little bit in the chat room about Devin Hester. You know, I said he was money in the bank, and Lance comes on and says without the TD, he was a bust, and Chad's, you know, wondering about him a little bit. But, you know, last week I told you, I read about the beat writer there in Chicago who was close to the team, and he said he's been watching Chicago a lot closer than me, obviously, and he said that Hester's been showing up on the big plays when they need him. Hester's there. And last week, that's kind of what happened. When they needed a big play, he was there and he made it happen. Now, I don't know if that equates to a lot of targets. They can spread the ball around quite a bit, so that might not be the greatest for football, for fantasy purposes, but it sounds like he's assuming the role in the offense as the go-to receiver when they need it. Again, that might not translate to fantasy stats, but it does show that Cutler's beginning to trust.
Well, what's going on with Eddie Royal?
Nothing. Nothing's going on with Eddie Royal. I don't know what else to say, Mike. I mean, the kid is non-existent in the world of the targets, and, I mean, I don't know how you can continue to throw him out there when he's just absolutely not a part of the offense. I mean, Marshall finally got it going. That was kind of nice to see. Brandon Marshall on my bench this week. I benched him because, you know, he hasn't been doing anything, so I finally benched him. And the week, you know, that you bench him is usually the week he gets it going. He led the team in targets with 7. Eddie Royal got 3.
But I'm amazed to see that just all of a sudden Eddie Royal just falls off the radar. Just goes nothing.
It's shocking. Shocking, and I'm not hearing that it's injury related. I don't know. I really don't understand why Orton can't find a receiver like Eddie Royal. So, Mike, we've got 5 minutes left in the show. We've got Midnight Oil coming up right after this. Giants versus KC, total domination. We talked about that earlier. San Francisco versus St. Louis. San Fran had that game won in Minnesota. A huge performance from Vernon Davis, 7 receptions, 96 yards, and 2 touchdowns on 10 targets. He's by far Sean Hill's favorite receiver. Morgan kind of chipping in 4 for 47. I think this is the Glenn Coffey show this week. San Fran's going to run the ball down St. Louis's throat. St. Louis is one of the worst rushing defenses in the league. If you have Glenn Coffey, he has to be in your lineup. There's no other doubt about it. And San Fran couldn't stop Brett Favre, who threw for 300 yards. So, you know, if you've got a crunch situation and you're kind of debating, I think Donnie Avery, Keenan Burton could be the type of starter that you could throw in for a week and probably be okay because, again, I think San Fran's going to run the ball. They're going to get out early.
I agree.
St. Louis is going to have to throw.
That's going to be Singletary way. It's just like, look, we don't have Gore, but we got coffee. So drink some coffee and let's get rolling.
The ugliest game on the docket this week, Washington versus Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay did nothing versus the G-men. They turned to Josh Johnson. Derek Ward's out. That's just so ugly. Washington last week, even uglier. They lost to the Lions. Campbell did throw for 300 yards. Portis is banged up again. Moss had 10 receptions. Cooley cooled off for 3 for 38. I don't really put Cooley in the lineup unless you feeling it.
Well, see, I made a trade earlier this week. I traded Vincent Jackson for Santana Moss and Pierre Thomas.
Wow.
And I'm a believer in Santana Moss. This week and this year, Santana Moss, big game.
It's the West Coast offense, Mike. I agree with you. He's very underrated. West Coast offense, they don't have anything else to go to. They have said, I'm going to get the ball into Santana Moss's hands through quick slants, cross the middles, just, you know, let him get the ball in space and run with it. So if you've got Santana Moss, you're gonna get him in your lineup. Buffalo
Let's
at
go
Miami.
Monday night.
Miami played the Chargers tough through three quarters. They lose Chad Pennington for the year. In comes Chad Henne. Who knows what's going to happen there? This whole Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams thing has to be disgusting, absolutely disgusting for people who drafted Ronnie Brown. I mean, to see Ricky get 8 carries and 4 receptions week after week,
I know.
That's just bad news if you're a Ronnie Brown owner. Marshawn Lynch comes back. We're going to have to watch that a little bit. Buffalo did hold Drew Brees down, so you think that if they held Drew Brees down, they're going to absolutely take care of Chad Henne. So that's not somebody I'd look forward to starting here.
Let's talk Monday night, Scott. I got to ask you a question real quick.
Okay.
Greg Jennings. What is going on with Greg Jennings?
I don't know. He's got a little bit of a wrist injury. He's kind of banged up. They've been doing some you know, Rodgers has a complete offense here. He can throw to anybody who's open. So if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're going to take it to the guy who's open, and there's been plenty of opportunities for other wide receivers to get the ball in their hands. The tight ends are getting open. Greg Jennings is the deep threat, and you have to work a little bit harder for the deep ball. And if you don't, I don't know.
It just seems like Greg Jennings is getting hardly no targets and no touches at all, and that just frustrates me.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't think there's an answer there, but it's going to be a one heck of a game. Packers at Minnesota, Brett Favre. You've got to play Adrian Peterson, obviously. You have to look at, you know, Greg Jennings and being in your lineup. Donald Driver's a must start. I'm not real sold on Ryan Grant, especially against the second best run defense in the league. He has not been there. He was on my do not draft list this year.
What about Percy Harvin in this game?
But Minnesota's been tough against the wide receivers, too. I don't know. I mean, Percy's one of those guys, if you have to start him, you get him in there. He's a playmaker. He's a touchdown guy. But I don't think he's a heavy reception guy. I think you're going to give the ball to Adrian Peterson and see what he can do, and you're going to let Brett Favre do what he does.
I agree.
It's just one of those things, Mike. Well, look, we're out of time. We didn't even get in all we wanted to, Mike. Again, it's hard to get in every game. If you want to stay after the chat room, we can help out and get some Who Do I Starts in for the crew. But Mike, we've got another weekend of football to watch.
I love it. I love it, Scott, and I love the show. And
you've been listening to Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide, with your hosts Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Please join us next time.
What were you saying there, buddy?
I said I love the show and I love what you bring to it. Man, we
good show again, I think. Yeah, we've got it rolling. It's still early in the year. We're gonna get our kinks worked out and hopefully we can start getting through the entire slate of games. This week we weren't able to get through all of them, but you know, I love bringing the world of the high stakes fantasy football to the listeners and letting them find out about these guys and some of their strategies going in. Look at what we learned tonight. I mean, the guy is first, second, and second in all three of those big leagues, and he drafted a tight end early in all three of them, and he drafted a stud. And so that's saying maybe that's going to change my opinion a little bit of how important the tight end is. Usually I risk it, and you know, but maybe
I've
it's
got,
not worth the risk.
I've got a list of players that is six, seven, eight deep, and I've scratched off one, scratched off the other one, and added them in, added another player in. So, I mean, I'm going, okay, all right, well, I thought this one was good. And then after listening to our listeners and, you know, the guests, I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'm not that good. So let me scratch this one out, you know. So that's good stuff.
Good.
I mean, they bring it.
I want to be glued to my set at 4 o'clock for that Jets-Saints game. That's the 4 o'clock game. At 1 o'clock, I'm probably going to have all the family and friends over and watch the Seattle Indy game. The Colts game is obviously what's
well,
going to be on the tube. Go
let
ahead.
Me ask you a question, Scott. Are the Jets good?
Come on.
Are they
Come
good?
On, are they good? You've got Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
You've got Mark Sanchez. That's all you need, buddy. That's all you need is Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez. That is the combination. That franchise is set for the next 10 years. Listen, Mike, in the NFL, when you get your quarterback right, everything else takes care of itself, okay? It's a quarterback-driven league, and when you hit a lottery pick like the Jets did with Mark Sanchez,
right.
When you hit a lottery pick like the Steelers did with Ben Roethlisberger, when you hit a lottery pick like Joe Flacco in Baltimore,
Flacco.
Those three teams are set, Mike, for the next 10 years. Do you realize that? I mean, it's that important to have a quarterback of that caliber that can win you games and plays with a moxie, plays with confidence, can see the field. The game is just slower for those guys. And
okay, so the Jets go to New Orleans and win.
Well, I'm not
That's
saying
what
that.
You're telling me.
I'm not saying that. New Orleans is a heck of a team, and especially in the dome. Drew Brees is going to have them fired up. I mean, look, the Saints are set at quarterback, too. It's going to be a heck of a game. It depends on New Orleans' defense. I think the game comes down to New Orleans' defense. It's not about the Jets' defense because the Jets' defense will handle their business. They just absolutely will. Brees will still get his. I think Brees will have a better week than he did last week against Buffalo, to be honest, even though the Jets' defense, I think, is better than Buffalo. I just think it was one of those games that was eventually going to catch up to him. But I think that – I don't know. I think it's going to come down to the New Orleans' defense. Can they rattle Mark Sanchez a little bit and get him off his game and, you know, force them to do some things they're not comfortable with? Because
Jets go 3-1. Jets go 3-1.
Right.
In week five, the Jets in Miami on Monday night. Jets at the Dolphins.
Against Chad Henne? Yeah, I don't know. I'm not too worried about that either. So I say at worst, they're 4-1 there. Could be 5-0.
Then they're at home against Buffalo. I like that.
Yeah, 6-0, 5-1. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to get started off to the right foot. I mean, in three games. These games were.
Oh, nice. Then they go to Oakland.
Yeah. I mean, you win at Houston. You beat the Patriots. And then, you know, coming back last week, beating an angry, hungry Titans team. I'd hate to see Titans go 4-0-4 this week, but they're playing at Jacksonville, Mike. We didn't even get to talk about that. Mike
yeah,
Walker's going to be out. He's going to be playing hard. You got to have MJD in your lineup. Tennessee's going to – you got to have Chris Johnson. And I don't know, maybe you have Justin Gage out there because Jacksonville, look, Mike, Jacksonville, 30th against the pass. Okay, they are just as bad. Look, Tennessee, 31st against the pass. This is a game where Tennessee and Jacksonville, they're respectable run defenses. Tennessee's number one run defense in the league. Jacksonville's going to have to pass. You think that's going to be a big game for Mike Walker or what, man? I mean, if you have Mike Walker,
yeah,
he has to be in your lineup.
Yep.
So
it's going to be fun to be a. It's going to be fun to be a Jets fan because you got a lot of excitement there because Sanchez reminds me a little bit of Flacco, only better. And he's got
I don't know if there's anybody better in the league right now better than Flacco, Mike. This kid has impressed so much. The game has really slowed down for him, and he has such an arm. This kid could, and you're seeing it. He's a top five quarterback right now, Mike. And Rachel and I, we picked him up as our backup to our quarterback Jay Cutler. But you know what? I'll guarantee you, there's going to be some weeks here that we're going to be starting Flacco over Cutler because it's going to continue to impress you week after week after week. So, Mike, we got to play first.
Hi, this is Greg Kellogg. You know the routine. It's Friday night. You're looking over your lineup. It's either Lavernius Coles versus the Browns or Lance Moore versus the Falcons. I'm a serious fantasy player, and regular fantasy advice just won't do. I need to know, without a doubt, that the fantasy advice I'm getting makes sense. That's why I listen to Red vs. Blue Fantasy Sports Radio. Catch Scott Atkins and the Red vs. Blue crew chat room every Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for those difficult-to-make lineup decisions. I'll be there. Will you?
Mike, we had to get it in.
I understand.
We had to get Greg Kellogg in.
Okay.
It's been a week.
Love hearing
week
it.
Week four is going to be even better than week three, Mike. I guarantee it. This is the NFL. This is the No Fun League. But we're having a whole lot of fun.
Alabama tomorrow, baby. It'll be your final count.
We're living together, but still in farewell.
12:30, kickoff.
And maybe we'll come back.
Bring it, Nick Saban. The best.
What?
That's the ready.
It's the fire.